This week I'm in Hobart, and we're approaching the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, and Dark Mofo is on, the winter festival hosted by Hobart's Museum of Old and New Art. There's plenty going on around here in the cold, open air. There's lots of public art and music and blazing fires and light shows, and the famous annual nude swim in the River Derwent at dawn to welcome back the sun. Brian Ritchie is back on Conversations with me today, fully clothed, I might add, quite helpfully. Brian is a distinguished Hobart resident. He's a musician, songwriter, bass player, among other things, with the Violent Femmes, who came out of Milwaukee in the United States in the 1980s and who are one of the most adored bands in human history. I've asked Brian Ritchie to come in today with a bunch of dark songs from different artists that he'd like to talk about. Beautiful and strange tunes that play on the darker side of human nature. And we're going to start with one of the Violent Femmes' most troubling little songs from way back. Welcome back, Brian.
Thanks, Richard. It's great to be back.
Is that how you say it in a possessive way, the Violent Femmes', or you say the Violent Femmes' most
We say dark track? The Femmes.
The Femmes, okay. Yeah. We're going to start off with Country Death Song. Now, I remember listening to this. I bought the album, Hallowed Ground, that this first came out on in 1984 or thereabouts. This is a classic murder ballad written by your singer Gordon Gaynor from the Violent Femmes. There's a long tradition of these murder ballads in American country music, isn't there?
Well, there are quite a few songs like this. It even goes beyond American country music because American country music evolved from British Isles music. So you have quite a few of these songs in the Irish, Scottish and British tradition as well. And it's funny because when I met Gordon, he was playing some of these pop songs like the ones we're known for, Blister in the Sun, Prove My Love. And I said, so what else do you have? He says, well, here's one that I just wrote in study hall last week. And he came out with Country Death Song. And I was pretty flabbergasted, you know, because of the perfection of it. And I just thought, okay, there's more to this kid than meets the eye.
He wrote this in high school.
Yeah, he must have been 16 or 17 at the time.
Right, and so he's that kid. You're telling me he's that kid, the teacher's talking, trying to educate the students. He's sitting there really quietly, completely tuned out of what's going on, and he's writing a murder ballad.
Yes, that was Gordon, and he would have been wearing a bathrobe. He was famous for wearing a bathrobe to school.
I read somewhere this was based on a true story or something from the 19th century, a story he picked up somewhere from the Great Depression or something. Do you know anything about that, Brian?
No, I don't know about that. That's news to me. Somebody made a beautiful fan video of it, an animated video that you can see on YouTube. It's quite impressive, but I don't know about the veracity of the story.
Gordon Gaynor is a Christian, or was a Christian, I don't know if he still is, or he was at the time a committed Christian and a bohemian at the same time. Do you think you can hear that kind of very Christian sense of sin in this song?
Well, obviously, the song is in the first person, but it's obviously not autobiographical. However, the protagonist commits suicide at the end of the song. Not to give it all away, but I suppose people know that's going to happen anyway. And suicide is not something that you're supposed to do as a Christian. So yeah, there would be some of that tension in it.
This is a new version of that song, the one we're about to play, a live version. This is coming out on a new album the Violent Femmes are about to release.
Yeah, we have a forthcoming album called Two Mics and the Truth. Unplugged and Unhinged in America. And what we did was we went around to different radio stations and recording studios and played for tiny audiences or no audience. And doing interviews on the radio, or sometimes for contest winners, we'd go into a recording studio and play live versions of the songs. And we took around two microphones, specific bluegrass kind of microphones, so that there was a little bit of uniformity to the whole recording process. But it was quite ad hoc, to the point that I didn't even tell Gordon what the plan was, because when that was the plan, was to try to get him to feel really comfortable and do these crazed versions that he does when he's not in the recording studio thinking about all the little details. So you can hear that. We recorded this song at Electric Ladyland, which is Jimi Hendrix's studio in New York, and Tony Trischka, the same guy who played banjo on the original version, is with us. And also I had a brand new bass that day, which I got from Bob Dylan's bass player, Tony Garnier. So I was pretty happy to be playing that. So it all came together really nicely, as you can hear on this recording.
It's called a country death song. I had me a wife, I had me some daughters. I tried so hard, I never knew still waters. Nothing to eat and nothing to drink. Nothing for a man to do but sit around and think. Nothing for a man to do but sit around and think. I'm thinking and I'm thinking. There's nothing I ain't funk. Breathing in the stink till finally I stunk. It was at that time I swear I lost my mind. Started making plans to kill my own kind. Started making plans to kill my own kind. Come little daughter, said the youngest one, put your coat on, we'll have some fun. We'll go out to mountains, the one to explore. Her face it lit up, I was standing by the door. Her face it lit up, I was standing by the door. Come little daughter, I will carry the lanterns. Go out tonight, we'll go to the caverns. Go out tonight, we'll go to the caves. Kiss your mother goodnight, remember that God saves. Kiss your mother goodnight, remember that God saves. I led her to a hole, a deep black well. I said, make a wish, make sure not tell. Then close your eyes, dear, and count to seven. You know your papa loves you, good children go to heaven. You know your papa loves you, good children go to heaven. I gave her a push, gave her a shove. I pushed with all my might, I pushed with all my love. I threw my child to a bottomless pit. Screaming as she fell, but I never heard her hit. She's screaming as she fell, but I never heard her hit. Trip to hell, it's guaranteed. Get your own place in hell. Take your lovely daughter and push her in the well. Take your lovely daughter and throw her in the well. Don't speak to me of lovers with a broken heart. You wanna know what will really tear you apart? I'm going out to the barn with a never stopping pain. I'm going out to the barn to hang myself in shame.
That's Country Death Song by The Violent Femmes. being performed in Electric Ladyland in New York. It's part of the Violent Femmes' forthcoming album called Two Mics and the Truth. The next song is from Blind Willie Johnson. This is Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground. This goes back to the 20s or the 30s, doesn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, he was one of the original early... Well, he's considered a gospel performer, but his sound is that of the blues. That was back when the only difference between those two kinds of music was basically lyrical content. This song doesn't have much lyrical content, if any. It's almost like a tone poem. It could be a piece of contemporary classical music, and even to the extent that Kronos String Quartet recorded a version of it. The song is... It's a monumental piece of 20th century music to the extent that they made the Voyager recording, which to space, they had a gold record, which had somehow considered the peak musical performances of human musical
achievement, right?
Yeah.
Is Bach on
right.
there or something? Is it there?
Bach is there. Beethoven is there. African pygmies. Yamaguchi Goro playing the Japanese bamboo flute shakuhachi. Some Indian sitar music. And the Chuck Berry, Johnny B. Goode. And this song, Dark as the Night, Cold Was the Ground.
Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground by Blind Willie Johnson. Needless to say, he was a blind guy, wasn't he? He had a terrible life. You can really hear the harshness of his life in those songs, and also, again, the gospel influence.
Well, a lot of the performers or blind people in those days, that was the only thing that they could do to make a living. And this is true throughout musical history. There have been a lot of blind performers, and including Ray Charles, many other greats.
Stevie Wonder, Blind Lemon Jefferson, you know, there's one after the other, isn't there?
That's right. Mm. And Blind Willie Johnson is one of the best slide guitar players of all time, and he was a huge influence on everybody from Eric Clapton to Rolling Stones, and he continues to be celebrated to this day.
He was terribly poor. I read a story about him when I knew you wanted to play this song. About he went on to become a Christian preacher later in life, and towards the end of his life in 1945, it says here, I'm just quoting here, his home was destroyed by a fire, but with nowhere else to go, Blind Willie Johnson continued to live in the ruins of his house, where he was exposed to the humidity. He contracted malarial fever, and no hospital would admit him, either because of his visual impairment or because he was black. Over the course of the year, his condition steadily worsened until he died on September 18, 1945. That's just bizarre.
This happened to a lot of the black performers, including Bessie Smith, Eric Dolphy, the great saxophone player, and unfortunately quite a few more. Blind Willie Johnson also had another really dark song, and I was debating whether to play that one. It's a protest song in favor of the Titanic sinking. The very unusual subject matter. He's basically saying that man was arrogant to think that he was creating the unsinkable ship. So God sent it down to the bottom of the ocean. Very unusual perspective.
Yeah, God only knows what he makes of his song being sent out into space on a gold record to be found by an alien civilization a billion years from now.
Well, let's hope he knows all about that wherever he is.
The next song you selected is Strange Fruit, which is a hard song to ignore when I ask you to prepare songs with a theme like this. This is famously recorded by Billie Holiday. What do you love about this song, Brian?
Well, the pain of this song is unavoidable, and it's palpable, and it's so real. It's about the lynchings in the South, in the United States, of black men usually, and the tragedy of that. And then she uses this strange fruit as a metaphor for the bodies hanging from the trees. And the song continues to have resonance today because this situation is recurring in different ways in the United States. There are still a lot of black people dying under suspicious circumstances. Sometimes it's sanctioned by the police. We just had a shooting in Milwaukee, my hometown. A couple people were killed on the lakefront by the police. I don't know whether there was racism involved, but there have been plenty of other examples of that. Where it is involved, it's clearly still a problem. So as scary and poignant as the song might have been when it came out, it's disturbing that it's still relevant today.
The poetry, the lyrics are amazing in this song. I mean, I didn't think I knew about the song when I heard it for the first time. And I thought, oh, this is one of those kind of songs about the South. And then I thought it was about fruit to begin with. And then she sings the line, blood on the leaves and blood on the roots. And you go, oh, that awful sinking feeling when you hear what the song's really about.
It's a perfect protest song because it's not didactic. It's not like beating you over the head with the message. It's very seductive. The melody, the structure of the song. I believe the songwriter's name is Abe Mirapol. And I think he was a socialist, a left-wing, maybe.
He's a school teacher in the Bronx, I think. Yeah. In Brooklyn, the Bronx, yeah.
And there were a lot of people like that back in those days, people with a social conscience. So he had something to say, but then it would have gone nowhere had not Billie Holiday grabbed onto it and made it her own.
It was a toss-up whether to play this one or Robert Wyatt's version, the British artist from the 1970s, thereabouts. What do you think about that idea of the song and the performance and those two different ideas and concepts of when you have a song as powerful as this one, Brian?
Well, that's a very good question. People frequently fall in love with a song like because of the performance of it. People love Blister in the Sun, but that's also tied in with the way we play it. It's not really becoming a standard. It's not like Frank Sinatra ever recorded it. That's partially the song, partially the performance. But then when you have a song like Strange Fruit, Robert Wyatt can do it. Nina Simone did a very brutal version, even more.
An angry version, wasn't it?
Yeah, even more powerful in some ways than Billie Holiday's version. There are different ways of doing that. So those are the best songs, the songs that can be interpreted in many different ways, different instrumentation, different structures, and people of different genders singing them, and it still has that same power.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves. Blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh, then the sudden smell of burning flesh. here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for the tree to drop. Here is a strange
next song is another song with a similar theme, Mississippi Goddamn, which was done at first, I think, or written by Nina Simone. I don't know if she wrote it or performed it.
Yeah, she wrote it. She wrote it in about 20 minutes, they say, because she was so angry about another one of these killings. So these two songs are related, but then the juxtaposition here is that this music is really joyful and upbeat rather than the dirge-like atmosphere of Strange Fruit. So it's the same topic, slightly different time frame, different reactions to it.
It's being performed by Natalie Douglas. I've heard a live version of this, and people are laughing at the start because it's got that bouncy piano, and you think it's going to be a comic song.
Yeah, it's got almost like a polka kind of feel to it in the beginning, and then suddenly it goes off on this verbal tour de force of very strong and indicting imagery.
Natalie Douglas, who sings this, has got one of those beautiful, very crystalline voices. How did you find this version?
Well, as we were talking earlier about the song, you know, versus the version, so in some cases I had chosen songs, but I was looking for other versions, and I remembered that I heard this actually on the plane, and I was blown away by it. So I found it, I think, if it's possible to be better than the original, it gets close to that because she nails it.
This is Natalie Douglas singing the Nina Simone song, Mississippi Goddamn.
Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn. Can't you feel it? It's all in the air. I can't stand the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn. Hound dogs on the trail, school children sitting in jail. Black cat cross my path, I think every day is gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on this land of mine, we all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there, I've even stopped believing in prayer. Don't tell me, me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know. You keep on saying, go slow. But that's just a trouble.
Too slow.
Washing the windows.
Too slow.
Picking the cotton.
Too slow.
You're just plain rotten.
Too slow.
You're too damn lazy.
Too slow.
You're thinking's crazy.
Too slow.
Try to do your very best. Stand up, be counted with all the rest. 'Cause everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn.
The next song is by Etta James, the great soul singer, and this is called The Bitter Earth. I'm surprised I haven't heard it before. Tell me about this song, please.
Yeah, Brian. I never heard it before either. Such a brilliant song. And then I looked for other versions, and Etta James' version, well, she's just so rich and powerful. This song has kind of a happy ending, or at least it has the hint that there could be a happy ending. So it's not as unrelentingly bleak as some of the other songs we've had on the show.
How nice of you to include it today. How lovely.
Yeah, thought I'd try to give people a slight ray of sunshine here.
This bitter earth. What fruit it bears? What good is love? Hey, that no one shares. If my life is like the dust that hides so cold. Ah, today you young woman. Oh, too soon you old. But while a voice within me cries, oh, I'm sure will answer my call, and then this bitter earth may not be so bitter after all.
The next song you've brought in is by an English artist called Nick Drake, sadly no longer with us. The song is called Black Eyed Dog. What can you tell me about Nick Drake, Brian?
Nick Drake was, I guess what you'd say, one of the early singer-songwriters, coming out of the British folk music tradition, but you can also hear quite a strong blues influence there. A lot of the people at that time were mixing these things together, experimented with a lot of very weird open tunings that nobody else was using. He was a genius of a musician, but completely unsuccessful as a performer. He barely ever got any gigs. When he had the gigs, people didn't listen to him because he had very little stage presence or wasn't able to be extroverted. He put out three albums, which were only really acknowledged by a few connoisseurs here and there. And this track that we're about to play was from an unfinished fourth album. He recorded the song himself when he was in a state of severe depression, and the song is about the black dog depression. And shortly after this, he died. They still don't want to say whether it was a suicide or an unintentional overdose. They don't know. But it was involved with some, I think, antipsychotic or antidepressant medication, but they didn't know very much about that back in those days. So it's a tragedy all around. And then similarly to Blind Willie Johnson, the irony is that now Nick Drake is incredibly famous. He's sold millions of records. His posthumous career is far more successful than he ever dreamed of while he was alive. He would have been vindicated if he had been able to stay alive artistically. His songs have been used on big commercials like Volkswagen commercials, and that's how a lot of people got introduced to his music. But he is one of the greatest singer-songwriters we have.
This is Black Eyed Dog by Nick Drake.
Called at my door.
gorgeous song. Like the Blind Willie Johnson song, it's got that kind of sparkling guitar.
It's amazing how these artists are able to create a whole orchestra of sound just with a guitar and their fingers. And I can try to do that too, but I'm dazzled by the ability of someone like Nick Drake. He had difficulty relationships with people. His relationship with his guitar would be very intimate.
Okay, we're going to play the final song today, and I love this version of St. James Infirmary Blues, maybe the earliest known blues song, which just happens to be formed by the man sitting across from me, Brian Ritchie himself. Now, the innovation in this version, well, most obvious innovation right at the front, is your use of the Japanese flute in here as a blues instrument.
Well, the shakuhachi is an amazingly good blues instrument. I've actually played on some recordings down with the Chicago Blues Men, and once they hear it, they're totally into it. It's almost like it got time-traveled, transported into the blues, or it should have been.
Yes, because you can distort the note a bit, and you can bend it too.
Yeah. I'm able to do stuff on the bamboo flute like you would do on a harmonica in a blues setting, and you can hear that here. This song, Jack Teagarden, the great trombonist and singer, said that it was the oldest blues song he knew of. So that means it goes back to the beginning of the blues. It doesn't have the normal 12-bar structure, but it's identifiably bluesy. The lyrics are very, well, it's a storytelling song about someone losing their lover and then, you know, going on to speculate what happens when they die themselves. And it doesn't really paint a warm picture of the potential afterlife. It's interesting for such an old song that kind of dismisses the afterlife in the way that this song does. I recorded it a few weeks ago because it was my wife's birthday, and she's got everything she needs. She's got the jewelry, she's got the clothes, she's got the shoes. And I thought, okay, I'm going to record an album for her birthday. And Varuni she's from Sri Lanka, but she loves American roots music. So I recorded a lot of her favorite Americana songs, and right here in Hobart with a couple musicians here, Lindsay Arnold, who's a 74-year-old jazz musician who's also one of the first underground comic book artists in the world, who's been making underground comics here in Tasmania since the 50s and was a big influence on R. Crumb and the American comics.
I've seen his stuff.
Yeah, he's a brilliant artist and a great drummer too, as you can hear coming up. And then Beck Tilly is a young girl. I think she's probably about 25, and she helped out with the vocals. So it's like intergenerational Tasmanian Americana album.
This is it. This is Brian Ritchie's version of St. James Infirmary Blues with a whole bunch of Tasmanian musos. It's been such a pleasure having you on once again, Brian. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Richard.
Down in old Joe's barroom on the corner by the square, well, the drinks they were served as usual, and the usual crowd was there. Stood old Joe McKinney. His eyes were bloodshot red. Well, he turned to the crowd around him, and these are the very words he said. Well, I went down to the St. James Infirmary to see my baby there. She was stretched out on a long white table, so but you'll never find another man as sweet as me. Oh, when I die, oh Lord, please bury me in my high top Stetson hat. I'll put gold coins over my eyelids so the boys will know I died standing pat. Get six gambers to be my pallbearers, six chorus girls to sing me a song, put a jazz band behind my worst wagon to raise hell as we roll along. There's 13 men going to the graveyard, and only 12 are coming back. You've heard my story. Let's have another round of booze. And if anyone should ever ask you, I got those same James Infirmary blues.
St. James Infirmary Blues, performed by Brian Ritchie and a bunch of his friends right here in Tasmania. The new Violent Femmes album called Two Mics and the Truth, Unplugged and Unhinged in America, will be out in a few weeks' time. abc.net.au/conversations is our website. I'm Richard Feidler.
You've been listening to a podcast of Conversations with Richard Feidler. For more Conversations interviews, please go to the website abc.net.au/conversations.